Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to open your great, inspired, divine word. We thank you that we have been given this by you. We know that you have inspired it and allowed it to be, even in our own language, and still available in our world. And though there's a growing hostility towards your word, we know that you will always allow it to prevail. And we thank you that it is the word of hope. It is the word of life. It is the word that alone declares to us so well who you are and what you've done for us and who we are and how we wretches can become treasures. We thank you so much for these great words. And today, Lord, as we look at Daniel 9, may you speak to us and teach us. There are things here for us to learn that we might be living as we ought in the light of what you've done for us. So pray that you would speak to us, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to start off by asking you about your prayer life. How is your prayer life? How often do you pray? And when you pray, are your prayers heartfelt? It's so easy to come before God with what we call the shopping list. The shopping list. And not with the cries of our heart. It's so easy for us to pray by rote, just praying out of habit and not praying with devotion. And how we need to, all of us, learn to pray with heart and not just head. In the spirit, not in the flesh. And praying for the will of God to be done, not our will. And this morning, why am I mentioning these things? Because we're going to be considering one of the great, great prayers in the Bible, the whole Bible. It's Daniel chapter 9. It's the prayer of Daniel. And there's so much for us to learn as we look at this prayer this morning. It's a wonderful prayer. And why should we say that? Because God says so. He looked at Daniel as a man highly esteemed. And one of the things that highly esteemed him before God was his prayer life. It's not a prayer that's highly polished or anything like that. Theologically correct it is, but the most important thing is God heard a man pray with all his heart. There's a passionate plea that comes to God's throne. And I think that is so important for us to look at this morning. I want to read to you the last part of the prayer. This is where we're going to be heading. Listen to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 19, he says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for your own sake. O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. And I reckon when you have a few O's in your prayer, you're getting to the heart level. Look at those O's. This is how it's meant to be for us. We've come into a relationship with God the Father. It's personal, it's real, it's intimate. And the things I read here, I believe, are absolutely affirmed by Jesus when he taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. So I'm so glad it's recorded for us. And this morning we're going to be looking at these first 19 verses. So let's begin. And as we have seen, before I actually even read the first part of Daniel chapter 9, we have seen that Daniel is a prayer, haven't we? There's been a number of times when we've seen him pray. For example, the time when he and his friends were going to be executed, because no one could tell the king what his dream was. That's what he asked for, and the interpretation of the dream. And so he's going to be executed with all the wise men of Babylon. So what did Daniel and his friends do? They prayed. All right, let me read to you that account. Daniel chapter 2, 17 and 18. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah about the matter in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Look at that. Straight away he just knew what to do, pray. And then God wonderfully answers his prayer. It's miraculous. And what does Daniel do after that? Let's find out. Verses 19 and 20 of Daniel 2. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven and said, Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. That's prayer as well. He's praising God for answered prayer. What do you think of his prayer life so far? Asking God for help and praising God when he helps. Of course, another part of the time when we see him praying is when he is forbidden to pray. The king tells everyone they can't pray. They only can pray to the king. This is the rule that was enshrined. And what does Daniel do? He just keeps on praying. So let me read to you one verse in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, that is, that no one can pray to any god but to the king, he's not even a god, but that's the rule. It says here that Daniel entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. And I remember looking at this verse with you a month or so ago, and I just wanted you to see how, look at that prayer of Daniel. He is so humble. He's on his knees. He's so loyal to God, so in love with God, that it's 3 times a day that he would pray to God. And he would pray not at work, not in the busyness of life. He would go to the attic of his house where it is quiet, where there is no distractions, because he really loved that time alone with God. What things to learn? This is his prayer life. Is this something that is seen in our own life? Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, when you pray, go into your inner room or closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. I see so many things of Daniel's prayer so connected to the words of Jesus in Matthew 6. So, that's just a little few verses on Daniel's prayer life. And of course, there could have been so much more written about his prayer life. And now we come to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel is no stranger to prayer. And we have this most magnificent prayer here in Daniel 9. And I would now like to read to you the first 3 verses of Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. What do you think of that? So we're told here very clearly why Daniel wanted to pray to God, to seek his face, to plead with God with passion, something very important. And it's all because he contemplated, he comprehended the word of God. It was the word of God that drove him to pray. You see that there? There's something he comprehended. He comprehended that in the writings of the prophet Jeremiah, it says there very clearly that Israel would be in exile in Babylon for how long? 70 years. And so why is he so passionate in pleading with God for the exile to end and for Israel to come back home? Because there has been a change in government. The Babylonian Empire has collapsed. Darius has come in to rule over the Babylonian Empire as the Mede and Persian reign. And he knew. He knew the scriptures. And he knew it was time to pray and plead for God to end the exile. And I want to say to you all this morning, it's so important that we allow the Word of God to shape our prayers, that we comprehend the Word of God and we pray out of the Word of God, and that will cause you to pray with heart and with inner spirit and with passion. What words did Daniel read in Jeremiah? I want to read them to you. He knew the Bible. These are the words. Just going to read a few verses. Jeremiah 25, 8 and 9. Thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord, and I will send Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring him against this land.
verses 11 and 12. And you shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
Wow, God just knows everything.
70 years. Then it will be when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon, and that nation, declares the Lord.
He read that. He comprehended. I wonder how many other Jewish people in Babylon comprehended it. Probably just Daniel. That's just how it is. It's crazy. What's wrong with us? It seems like he was switched on.
He also read Jeremiah 29. Everyone knows verse 11. Verse 11, let's get it in context this morning. We're going to read 10 and 11. This is what Jeremiah read. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you, to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plan for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. That's the context of verse 11. And it's okay for us to appropriate it to ourselves, because in Jesus there's good plans for all those who love the Lord. But this was actually written for God's people in exile. God hadn't forgotten them 70 years. And Daniel, he comprehended this. He comprehended it. And this is the thing that led him to pray. Now, I want to just touch on a few things with you this morning. And I want to say to you all, when it comes to praying to God, and I'm still getting there, it's so important that we learn to pray, as I said earlier, by comprehending the Word of God and allowing our prayers to flow from His Word. And friends, this will really change our prayer life, and it will make us more passionate when we pray. For example, let me just touch on a few things. Like, what about these big things? We know if we read the Word of God and comprehend it, in terms of something very serious, we know that if we don't turn to Jesus, we don't just get annihilated. We will face eternity without God in hell. And when we comprehend that and allow that truth to really hit our hearts, it will cause us to pray passionately for our family and our friends who don't know the Lord yet. Let me think of another area. We're going through a really hard and challenging time, and we feel like we're being shaken about and thrown about. We feel like we're going to crumble. But we read from the Word that there is a peace that surpasses all comprehension. And we allow the Word of God, that promise, to land in our heart and to pray passionately that we might know that peace in the storms that we're going through. Do you see how it works? You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to take hold of those promises. And God loves hearing His promises. He loves telling Him what we've read. He likes us reminding Him of the great promises. He must be so thrilled when somebody actually speaks to Him what He's written. He really does. And I feel like for all of us, perhaps, this is an area we need to comprehend. We need to comprehend. Here's another one. If I understand the days that we live in, then I know that we are living in very dangerous and treacherous times. We are under attack like no other time before the great and glorious return of Jesus. That should fire me up to pray. To pray for you, to pray for myself, to pray for my family, because the devil is a roaring lion at the moment trying to devour and destroy us. And there should be passion in our prayer. As I pray for my family, my 8 grandchildren, as I pray for my children and their husbands, as I pray for Colin and I, as I pray for my church family, there ought to be passion if I comprehend the Word of God. Daniel comprehended the Word of God, and his prayer flowed from it. May we be like Daniel. Now let's have a read of the prayer itself. And so the first thing I read in verse 4, I just love this whole prayer. Verse 4, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Doesn't it begin well? Look at those words, the great and awesome God. The God who is faithful and true, so loving and kind. Don't you see something already about his prayer life? It's just full of what? Adoration. Full of adoration. Full of reverence. And that's how we should pray. I know Colleen, my wife, when she prays, she likes to remember who she's praying to, that God is seated on the throne. And she has this incredible joy of coming before the throne, but with that picture in her mind, the throne of God, it helps her to come with reverence and awe. We come before the throne of grace. Jesus taught us these words, didn't he? What did he say at the beginning of that prayer he taught us? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Daniel doesn't just jump in here and go, right, Lord, it says in Jeremiah, 70 years are up, it's time to go home. Doesn't start off like that at all. He wants to honour God and revere God. But the next part of this prayer is incredible. Yes, there's no mention yet about, let's get back home, Lord, it's time to get back home. The next thing after addressing God as the great and awesome God is that Daniel confesses sin. Let's read it in verses 5 and 6. We have sinned and committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame. And I just stop there. Look at this. Look at Daniel's heart. There's humility and there is honesty before God. I love how he says in verse 5, we have sinned. We would see Daniel as a mighty man of God. But he doesn't say they have sinned. Doesn't even give any implication that I'm better than them. He says we have sinned. He felt the sin of his people, his own sin, because no man is perfect. And he confesses to God. And look at the confession. It's not like just playing down. You know, I made a few mistakes, Lord, you know, sorry about that. Just human. It's just so full on. He talks, it has those big words in it, iniquity. We've acted wickedly. We have rebelled. We've turned our back to you. We have not listened to you. Wow. This is confession of sin. This is being real about our sin before a holy God. And friends, this is meant to be part of our prayer life too. We're meant to realise who our God is. And even though our God is so forgiving, we never are to play down the wrongs we do. Even this day, even this week, we are to confess our sins properly. We are to tell the Lord how bad we've been. We are to confess to him. This is how it's meant to be. I just want to read to you now the words that we have in one of the Psalms that helps me see what confession should look like. I learned from Daniel here, but let me read from Psalm 51. And Psalm 51 says, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And what is the heart in David's prayer here in Psalm 51, verse 17? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. There has to be brokenness. There has to be godly sorrow. This is what it should look like when we confess our sins. As soon as we sin, we ought to be in that place of brokenness, calling on the Lord to forgive me, a sinner. Or even if we're not aware of any sins, I do this every morning. If I'm not even aware of any sin, I still want to ask the Lord to forgive me. Because I'm sure there are things that I've thought and done that I'm not even aware of have broken God's heart. And I want to come clean and I want to confess them to God. I want to ask him to reveal things that I need to confess. Confession is so important. It's so important because at the end of the day, we want to be clean. We want to have those sins blotted out so that we can have a right relationship with God. Daniel doesn't just want to go home and everything's all good. He wants to get right with God. See that? It's not just going back to Jerusalem. I want to be right with God. I want God's people to be right with Him. I want to confess our sins to Him. How important it is that we pray like that. And now, after seeing the prayer, he comprehended God's word and he confessed his sin. What do we have next? Let me read now verses 7 to the first part of 9 in Daniel 9. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away, in all the countries to which you have driven them because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes and our fathers, because we've sinned against you. But to the Lord our God belongs compassion and forgiveness. So what do we see in the next part of this prayer? There's not just confession. There is an acknowledgement of the God who is full of compassion and forgiveness. Don't you love that? Begins in verse 7 about God's righteousness. God had been very righteous and just in dealing with Israel's sin. They had been horrible to him. And Jeremiah lived during that time when no one was listening to Jeremiah. They just did what they wanted. They even hurt Jeremiah and wanted to kill Jeremiah. They didn't want to hear any of his word from God. God knew how bad the people had become. And he was righteous in bringing punishment and sending them to exile in Babylon. But despite all that the people had done, Daniel knew that God's character is just amazing. That there is a compassion with God that is just unbelievable. He is the compassionate and gracious God. And that's something to say wow about. No matter how bad we are, God's compassion goes greater. There's a song we sang last Sunday on this. It's called You Alone Can Rescue. It has this line in it. Our shame was deeper than the sea. Your grace is deeper still. Our shame was deeper than the sea, but your grace is deeper still. And because Daniel knew God so well, he was able to know this truth. And it's not like the end of the world. It's not like, well, that's it, we've done it now. He knew that there is forgiveness with God. And so he appeals for God to forgive them. I think when I look at these words, it reminds me of the great declaration by God himself. When he passed by Moses, Moses saw the passing glory of God. And we have in Exodus 34, God himself declaring about himself these words from God himself. What does God want every human being to know? Here it is. I am the Lord God. Compassionate is the first word he uses. Compassionate and gracious. Praise the Lord. Every human should say, hallelujah. That's our God. The first thing, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. That is, the unrepentant. Those who don't turn to God and seek forgiveness. This is our God. This is a God that Daniel knew. He understood his character and he pleaded for God to have compassion upon himself and upon his people. And I'm going to just read a little bit more of this section now. I just want to read the whole prayer. Have a look at the next things as we read through it. Starting at verse 9 again. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. And the next section is about God's righteousness. And then we finish again with compassion. Verse 10, nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servants the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Daniel is declaring God's righteousness. You've been righteous. You told us this would happen if we did this. See this? And it's good that God is righteous, isn't it? He's a righteous God. Verse 12, thus he has confirmed his word which he had spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what was done to Jerusalem. This is God's righteousness. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us, yet we have not sought the favour of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. I'm just going to stop there. In the light of all that God did, punishing his people and exiling them to Babylon, removing them from Jerusalem, the people did not even blink an eyelid thinking of what they've done against God. There is no turning to God in Babylon. How bad can we be? And Daniel is just helping us see how bad it is. How callous can we be? How cold can we be? Verse 14, therefore the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And that all sounds pretty heavy. This is a righteous God. But in spite of God being such a righteous and just God, Daniel, what did he know? Daniel knew that above even all that, God is a compassionate God. And in verse 18, at the end of verse 18, we read, we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits or any righteousness of our own, but on account of your great compassion. That's our appeal. That's my appeal to God when I sin against him. I don't appeal to God, look how well I've been travelling, Lord, I just messed up a bit. I appeal to the compassion of God, that God would have mercy upon my soul. I deserve for him to strike me down. But Lord, please have mercy upon me. Please have compassion upon me and forgive me. That's how we're meant to pray. Because I respect God to be the holy, just God. And my sins hurt him. They hurt him deeply. And he has the power to bring judgment upon me. And I seek him. I seek his compassion. That's how it's meant to be. Is this reflected in your life, in your prayer life? It is in Daniel. Alright, let's now consider some other great themes. And I'm going to just look at the last part of his prayer now. And I'm going to read verses 15 to 19. And now, O Lord our God, you who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself as it is this day, we have sinned. We have been wicked. Notice, he keeps mentioning sin. It's not like he just, oh, that's all sorted. He just feels it. He feels the weight of their sin. 16, O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for your own sake. O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. I want to bring out something important in this prayer. Do you notice in the last part of this prayer, Daniel is concerned about one thing. Have you picked up what it is? It's mentioned at least four times in that section. He is concerned for the name of God. He is concerned for the glory of God. He doesn't pray this prayer for his glory. He doesn't pray this prayer for the glory of Israel. He prays this prayer for the glory of God, for your name's sake, for your name. And I've got to say to you, I reckon God barely hears that from his people. So often we are caught up with ourselves, with our own agenda, with our own will. And it must be, I feel, before God, a rare thing for people, for God to hear people praying for his will to be done and for his glory to be seen. That's how it's meant to be. Jesus taught us this. He taught us to pray like this. We're meant to be caught up with him and his glory. Not me, not our church, but the Lord. Friends, this prayer is just an awesome prayer. Everything about this prayer just ticks every box that Jesus teaches us about prayer. It is to comprehend the Word of God and allow our prayers to come from that. It is to confess our sins properly, honestly and humbly. It is to have a great view of the compassion of God, that God is a compassionate God, and we're just so thankful for that. And we want to be so concerned for the glory of his name. And so Daniel prayed this prayer, and I can only imagine in heaven God being so thrilled with God having a smile on his face, a joy in his heart as he sees a servant of his know the times and hears the prayer and hears Daniel tell him about his promises. And you know what happened after this? God answered that prayer. There's a verse in the Bible, James chapter 5 verse 16. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's in the context of Elijah. But it's also here in Daniel. And you could argue, well, God is going to always be true to his promises. He was always going to rescue Israel from Babylon and bring them back. But God so often doesn't just do things. He also has us to have a part. And Daniel has a part. Daniel has that part of petitioning God with pleas, with cries, with groans. Oh, hear the cry of his prayer. Oh, he prayed with his heart. And God must have been so pleased to say, right, it's time for me to fulfill that promise. 70 years is up. Thank you, Daniel, for praying. So I would love to learn to pray like that. How would you be? This is how we should be. You know, I feel that in prayer there is so much we need to learn. I think it would be good for all of us to do that thing that the disciples did when they said to Jesus, teach us to pray. I would urge you to all do that, even this morning. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray well. Teach us to pray in a way that pleases your heart. Help us to be in tune with you, with your glory, with your word. May the Lord help us to be great prayers. I'd encourage you to read through this prayer again. All right. So I'm going to ask the musicians to come up and we're going to sing our closing song. And our closing song is entitled, Hear Our Prayer, God Above. Let's stand. us as we deserve, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Thank you, Lord, that you are desiring to forgive us and not punish us. And thank you for your name. Lord, we want your name to be glorified in these frail bodies of ours that are so faulty. We want your name at Basel here to be exalted and honoured. Lord, help us to pray like this, to learn to pray as we ought. And may you revive us, may you cause your people here to be full of your Spirit, where the prayers that are ascending from your people are truly pleasing in your sight. And thank you, Lord, for the answers you give. You answer prayer. You answer Daniel's prayer, because you are a God who hears. You are a God who forgives. You are a God poised to act according to your will as your servants pray. Help us to be excited about you, how you hear us and forgive us and answer our prayers. Lord, I just ask you to minister to us now. I know there's a big day ahead of us, but may you minister to our soul. And thank you that we are able, under the new covenant, to pray in the name of Jesus. We thank you for his mighty name, that our prayers ascend to your throne because of him. We thank you that Jesus even taught us that he doesn't even hear our prayer and tell the Father about it, but we can pray straight to you, Father, through his name. We thank you for what you've done for us in Christ to bring this about. So, Lord, we just now thank you for this very precious time we've had, and I thank you for the ministry of your Spirit even to my soul. We thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.